You're listening to sermons from Christ the Savior Orthodox Church. We're a small but growing mission of the Orthodox Church in America, currently meeting in Brewer, Maine. We'd love to have you join us for service. But until then, here's Father John with this week's sermon.
At that time, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Sunday of Zacchaeus. Already. The first Sunday of the pre-Lenten cycle of services where we turn our hearts and our minds to prepare ourselves to enter the school of repentance. Great Lent. We have celebrated the light and the illumination of the seasons of Nativity and Theophany. Now we are about to enter into the season of Great Lent, the season of repentance, renewal, and redemption. And in the season of Great Lent, we all need to ask ourselves one thing, one question confronts each and every one of us. I think you know, historically, Great Lent was the final preparations for catechumens to be baptized on the vigil of Easter. But for those who have received the true light, who have received the heavenly kingdom, we sing at the end of every liturgy. One question confronts each and every one of the faithful. If we have received the true light, if we have received the heavenly spirit, what have we done with it? What have we done with the light that has been given to us? How have we employed it? How have we made good use of it? The next four Sundays in the pre-Lenten cycle prepare us to enter the school of Great Lent. It's like when we were in college, you know, when you go to registration, you sign up for the various courses, they give you the syllabus, they give you all these materials to help you prepare to take the course you're about to take. And so too with Great Lent. So too with the school of repentance. The church gives us four Sundays in which we are to gear up to prepare ourselves to enter Great Lent. So there are more like four steps. Four Sundays where we have a chance to do this. We have an opportunity to do this. The first begins with desire. The desire to see God. I'm sure you've heard many sermons over the course of the years about Zacchaeus' desire to see God. But if we are to become the friends of God, Moses was called the friend of God, then we cannot do so unless we first desire to know God. Desire is the first step in the spiritual life. Secondly, there must be humility. Humility, a profound, pervasive, continuous sense, awareness, everything comes from God, Everything is sustained by God. Everything will return to God as long as it remains in God. In Psalm 8, David so briefly and beautifully expresses the extreme paradox of man himself when he says, "When I look into the heavens and I see the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have established, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little less than God. You have crowned him with glory and honor." St. Paul, in the book of Acts, standing in the center of the Acropolis, he is facing and he is speaking and interacting with the sophists of his age there in Athens. He says to them, "God is he in whom we live and move and we have our being." Everything takes place because of the life and the light and the illumination that God gives to us. Ironically, St. Paul was quoting the patriarch Job, of all things. It was at that time when Job's friends were coming to Job saying, "What did you do? What did you do? How did you mess up so badly that you suffered all these afflictions?" And Job was the one who said, "It is in God that we live and move. We have our entire being." Why we suffer things we don't know, but this is the basic fact. Thirdly, there has to be metanoia, repentance, and about face, a reversal of course, so that when our lives were headed down the road that takes us away from God, we have to do a hard U-turn and get back on the road that leads us back to God. And finally, there is going to be the judgment. The judgment and remembrance of death. Judgment, because earlier on in the Gospel of St. Luke, at the conclusion of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Plain, Christ says to the disciples, "Why do you say, 'Lord, Lord,' and not do what I tell you?" And maybe a smoother translation would be to say, "Why do you call me Lord? Why do you address me as Lord if you don't do what I tell you?" And then the remembrance of death. Over the doorway on the lintel to a doorway to a monastery in Mount Athos, St. Paul's, there is this line on the remembrance of death. It says, "If you die before you die, you will not die when you do die." Sounds paradoxical, but it's talking about the renunciation of all things to the remembrance of death. All of us, one day, will have to stand and give an account for the light and the life and the illumination that God has given to us. So today, it begins with Zacchaeus. Ironically and prophetically, his name means pure, of all things. It means innocent. Zacchaeus means innocent. The Judean ministry has started. Christ is going trials. He's traveling trials from Galilee to Jerusalem. And Jericho is the last stop on the way. Jericho is probably a day's journey outside of Jerusalem. Christ enters the gates of Jericho. He is on his Judean ministry. He is about to go to Jerusalem for the last time. He is about to face being scorned. Being scorned, rejected, scourged, spit upon, and nailed to a cross, only to rise on the third day. He enters the gates of the ancient city of Jericho. Jericho, Father Scott mentioned this last Sunday, Jericho is on the edge of the Jordan, and it was there that the Hebrews first crossed over the Jordan to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land promised to them by God. That is where Jericho is, the inauguration of the new Jerusalem. Christ enters Jericho. And of course, the whole crowd runs to meet Jesus, to acclaim him, to escort him into the city, and to greet him. There's a huge crowd, huge commotion. And of course, Zacchaeus was there at home. He was at his desk, the scales, the bags of money, the revenue that he collected. But then Zacchaeus does something very uncharacteristic, totally out of character. He pushes himself away from the desk, he goes out of his house, and he enters into the street in order to see Jesus. But he couldn't. He couldn't, of course, because he was short. This guy was really short. So he has to push his way through the crowd, run down ahead of the street, ahead of Christ, and get up into a sycamore tree in order that he might see Jesus. So that he might see Jesus. Zacchaeus, short. I don't know if you are familiar with the actor Mickey Rooney. So Mickey, he died about 10 years ago. There's been a lot of great films. Mickey Rooney was short. If you see pictures of this guy, he's even shorter than most of the wives that he married. Now, this is just crazy. Zacchaeus was really short. He was short in stature, but most importantly, he was short in his soul. Zacchaeus was a tax collector like Matthew in Capernaum. Zacchaeus loved money, but Zacchaeus loved power. Zacchaeus loved influence, and he lied, cheated, and stole any way he could in order to be that. If you were short on your taxes, Zacchaeus would send the Roman legions or the Roman soldiers to knock on your door. He was a despicable, disreputable. He was a despicable man. People hated this guy. Worst of all, besides lying, cheating, and stealing to get everything that he had, this man collected revenues for Rome. He was a traitor. He sold out his own people in order for personal gain and wealth and power and influence. He was despised. So this is Zacchaeus. But this day was different. On this day, Zacchaeus' life would change forever. He would live a new life because he wanted Christ to come under the roof of his house. We hear that phrase, that allusion, whenever we have our house blessings, to asking the Lord to come under our roofs like he did under the roof of Zacchaeus, to come in and enter our house. Something new takes place in the life of Zacchaeus. It's like when we get up in the morning and we lift the curtains, we lift the shades, and the sunlight pours into every room of the house, fills it with light. Christ enters the house of Zacchaeus. St. Nikolai Žiča, first Serbian bishop in America, sometimes known as a Serbian Christian, commented on this event when he says, "Salvation comes to the house of Zacchaeus the sinner. Christ is the salvation that comes to the house. Zacchaeus is the house that salvation comes to." He says, all of us are houses in which sin dwells when Christ is far off, and the house that salvation comes to when Christ draws near. Whether Christ draws near to our home depends on us. Theoria, praxis. Faith and the works that come, that proceed from faith. Not works up for faith, the works that flow from faith. Theoria, praxis. The two go hand in hand. Zacchaeus' desire to see God was not passive. It was not platonic, it was not intellectual, it was not philosophical. He acted on his desire. It was an active desire. Zacchaeus pushes himself away from his desk. He leaves. He goes outside of himself in order to see God. And God comes to dwell with him. It's incredible. Totally incredible. So my brothers and my sisters, and Zacchaeus proves his sincerity. When Christ enters his home, Zacchaeus makes proof of his sincerity by saying to Christ, he vows, "I will return to everyone I cheated that which I stole from them. I will return it fourfold." Not only is he going to pay them back, he is going to pay them back with interest, 400%. That was the sincerity of Zacchaeus. My brothers and my sisters, if we wish to see God, we have to do what Zacchaeus did. No, our sins may not be as bad or as conspicuous as Zacchaeus's. Our obsessions and our idols may not be like those of Zacchaeus, but we have to do what Zacchaeus did. We have to have an active desire for God. We have to murder anything that keeps Christ from drawing near to our home. Whether it be attachments to the world, whether it be the so-called wisdom of the world, whether it be the obsessive or myopic pursuit of happiness, however we want to define that, it all must be subjected and subordinated to the wisdom, the truth, and the light of God. Subordinated to the light and the love and the knowledge of God. There's no other way. Christ must be first in all things. If it is not so with us, then our desire for God will be fickle and our faith will be fruitless. How do we do it? How do we do this? How do we acquire the desire for God, like Zacchaeus had? Well, number one, I would say, ask for it. Ask for the desire, an all-consuming desire for the living God. When you do your rule of prayer, when you go to your icon corner, ask God to open your hearts to have that desire for Him. Secondly, do what we see in the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the history, the account of God coming to man to claim him for the kingdom of God. Long history, beautiful history. But it begins with creation, Genesis. And in creation, and in Genesis, we behold the beauty, the splendor, the harmony, the order of all of creation. And we should let it inspire us to pursue him who called it into being. We do this with art. We see a painting, we see a movie, we hear a concert, we hear whatever form of art that we love to partake of, and we want to know more about the artist who produced it. Same should be true of God. We should be inspired to learn more about and to see the one who created all things, sustains all things, sanctifies all things, restores all things. I think it was St. Gregory of Nyssa who said that in this pursuit of God and a desire to see God, we must not focus upon the good things of God, his blessings, his goodness, the benefits of God. No, we must seek God himself, the only good, the supremely good, and seek that for the goodness itself. So today, with desire, we now have a good footing upon which to proceed to the following Sundays that lead us to the School of Great Lent. Let us follow in the footsteps of little Zacchaeus, who once was a very short man, short, twisted, contorted, corrupt, because of his love for money and power, but a man who, through the grace of God, became the tallest man in Jericho, the tallest man in Palestine. What happened to Zacchaeus? He resigned and renounced his service to Rome as a tax collector. He gave away his entire vast wealth to the poor. I believe he labored and traveled with both Saints Peter and Paul, serving with Saint Peter, until at some point Saint Peter consecrated him bishop of Caesarea in Palestine, where he served the church for many years, building up the flock, proclaiming the gospel, until he died into a very old age. He gave up everything for the sake of that pearl of great price, which everything else he was willing to give up in order to possess, to have, to obtain. Let's be like Zacchaeus. Let's pursue God, have a desire for God, so that we may acquire the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can listen to more sermons and learn more about us by visiting our website at orthodoxmaine.org. Thanks for listening, and until next time, God be with you.